A very blessed morning to one and all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, ever since our Lord Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven and gave his commission to the church, we are to be his witnesses and to be as disciples of Christ, to make disciples of all the nations of the world. Right, I'm just waiting for the slides to appear. And our Lord commissioned us to be his disciples, to make disciples of all nations, beginning in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And since then, this gospel of Christ has been making a good and lasting impact on the whole world through the witness of believers in every generation. Now it is our turn, it is our Christian responsibility to also make this good impact on others, both by our words as well as by our conduct, so that they will then be drawn to turn to Christ. Unfortunately, this is one area that many people find very difficult to do faithfully. And the question that we often ask is, why? Why is it that God's people are not as impactful for Christ as we ought to be? Well, one likely reason of our reluctance is because we don't want to go out of our comfort zone. You see, usually within about 3 years after you become a Christian, you would hardly have any friends who are unbelievers, you know, because you develop friendships more and more with Christians, and naturally, you prefer to spend time to fellowship with them. But this also means that you would have less and less contact with those who do not know Jesus Christ yet. Right, and another reason why, you know, many people are not sharing the gospel is that we fear that when we do that, people may be offended if our Christian influence is too strong. Right, we fear that we may be regarded by them as being freaks who are too strict and too conservative for them. So how do we overcome this fear? How do we overcome our reluctance to go out of our comfort zone? Well, one verse of scripture that can help us is the one that we just memorized a while ago, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It is here that Jesus taught his disciples about the important role that we have in this world by using a very common object, something that is familiar to everyone, and that is salt. You know, in recent decades, there has been a lot of things said about salt, actually a lot of bad reports about salt, that it is not good for your health. And we all know that taking too much salt in your diet can result in hypertension, obesity, and heart disease. And some of you here have probably been advised by a doctor, please cut down on your salt intake because of this. Right? And salt actually was an important commodity in Old Testament times. Salt was actually a symbol of the covenant relationship that God had with Israel. You see, according to Leviticus chapter 2, every offering that was made at the temple had to be offered with salt. And salt also had a very useful purpose since ancient times. One Roman historian by the name of Pliny said that nothing is more useful than salt and sunshine. In fact, salt is just as useful as the salary that you receive every month. How is this so? You see, the word salary actually comes from a Latin word, salarium, and that means that salt that is given as wages to a Roman soldier. Yes, in earliest times of the Roman Empire, that's how Roman soldiers were paid. They were paid in salt. And this actually gave rise to that famous expression, he is worth his salt. I think you can just imagine what it is like, you know, coming home at the end of each month, carrying bags of salt to provide for your family's needs and praying hard that it won't rain. Now, salt has been in demand since ancient times, primarily because of its use in the preparation of food and in cooking. And so just as food would be tasteless, not very nice to eat without salt, Our Lord tells us that if we are not salty, then we lose our impact as Christians. And this is how he puts it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. I'd like to propose that there are three lessons on being impactful that we can learn from what Jesus taught right here. Firstly, we learn that we have the potential to make a good impact on others. And this impact is represented by the word savor, which means taste or flavor. Salt is a useful seasoning. It's what gives good flavor to our food, and that makes it useful to those of us who love to eat. Do you know where the word salad came from? It comes from the Latin word salata, which means salted. And that's because the earliest form of salad dressing was simply to add some salt to the vegetables. Some of us may love to dip our food in sauce, be it tomato sauce, chili sauce, soy sauce. But do you know that the word sauce actually comes from an old French word which means salted? Now, another word that is also derived from the word salt is salami. And those are the large slices of sausage that you find in your pizza. And you can probably guess why it has such a name. So in the same way that salt has the potential to make your food taste good, we as Christians have the unique potential to make a very positive impact on the world. And where does this potential come from? It actually comes from our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work in our lives. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, it is only through Christ living in us that our lives can be changed, transformed into his image. And so our savor as salt actually comes from Christ himself. Christ is the one who gives us all the saltiness we need in order to make this good, positive impact on others. The problem, however, is that while we have this great potential to make such an impact, it is not being used as it should. Salt can never make your food taste good as long as it just remains within the salt shaker. It must first be sprinkled out of the salt shaker, sprinkled onto the food before you can enjoy its benefits. And so in the same way, if we all keep to ourselves within the four walls of the church all the time, then all that potential that we have to make an impact on the world would be wasted. It'll never be used. And so this brings us now to look at the second lesson that Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 teaches us. And that is that we need to go out into the world to make this good impact on others. Now, I want you to notice here that Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. And what he says in the next verse shows us exactly what he meant by that. Right? He says, ye are the light of the world. And Jesus is referring to the unique role that he has given to all believers in this world. We have this God-given role as the salt of the earth. And we must always be consciously trying to fulfill this role. And why is this so important? It is because the world stands in dire need of hope. And that hope can only be found in Jesus Christ. We who have found hope in Christ are therefore the ones who must bring him out to the world. So, dearly beloved, let us not be afraid to confess Christ before the world. Now, you should not think that your faith in Christ is only a matter between yourself and God, a very personal matter. It is not good to keep your faith just to yourself, to be able to enjoy this personal relationship with God. You see, if you really do not know, do not want anybody around you to know that you are a Christian, then in the end, you'll have to compromise your faith sooner or later. You'll have to live under false pretenses all the time and become conformed to the world. But that's not what Christians are supposed to be. To be a Christian is to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's what we are. We are witnesses for Christ. And it is implied by one particular characteristic of salt. You see, salt will tend to make you feel thirsty. Just eat some salted peanuts or potato chips, and soon you'll be looking for something to drink. And similarly, our lives ought to be creating this thirst for Christ in the people whom we meet. Christ is the spring of living water, the one who can quench the thirst of their soul. And Christ has said in John chapter 7, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." I hope you can see from all this that you should never be ashamed to let others know that you have Christ, that you are a Christian. And then when others get to know that you are a Christian, you need to let them be able to see Jesus in you. You know, some people who are formerly unbelievers have testified that what really encouraged them to turn to Christ for salvation was not some powerful gospel sermon that they had heard preached in church. What really made an impact upon them and brought them to Christ was the positive change that they could see in the life of a friend who is a Christian. Now, let me just share with you this song written by Ron Hamilton that captures this quite well. It goes like this. "When I enter heaven's glory and I see my Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son, and through tears of joy, with trembling lips, these words I'll say. I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes, I saw his care. I could see his love was there. You are faithful, and I saw Jesus in you." Please ask yourself, is this true of you now? Can people around you see Jesus in you? Now, letting others see Jesus in us is not all that we should be doing to fulfill our role as the salt of the earth. There is more to be done to make an impact on this world. And this can be understood from another use of salt. You see, salt is also useful as a preservative. In fact, until the invention of canning and refrigeration, salting was the main method that was always used to preserve any food. In fact, it is still used today to preserve some food, and that's why we have, you know, these things here in this slide, right? Salted fish, salted vegetables, and salted eggs. Salt preserves food by destroying all the bacteria which would cause decay. And for this reason, salt is also a very good antiseptic, and it was used since ancient times to keep wounds from being infected. And hence comes this expression, to rub salt into a wound. Why would people want to rub salt into a wound? You know, it really smarts, right? It's very painful, but it is also very effective, because it keeps the wound from being infected. Now, in the same way that salt counteracts decay and it prevents infection, we become useful Christians when we live in a way that can counteract the rottenness of sin in this world. Do you know that many horrible vices of ancient times were actually eradicated from society primarily because of the strong influence of God's people among the people of this world? For instance, missionaries in China like Gladys Aylward made an impact on the practice of foot binding of women in China. And within 40 years, this 1,000-year-old practice came to an end. And then in India, The temple prostitution of little girls was finally banned because of the impact that was made by another missionary, an Irish missionary called Amy Carmichael. Now, in the 19th century, it was William Wilberforce who successfully campaigned for the abolition of slavery in England. Now, let me tell you something interesting to all of us, and that is Wilberforce was a friend of our founder, Sir Stamford Raffles. Well, we all know that Raffles was the one who founded Singapore some 200 years ago, and you'll be hearing a lot about this week, because our nation's bicentennial celebration will be launched tomorrow. But what you may not hear this week is that Raffles was a Christian, and he was one who wanted to improve the lives of people through the gospel of Christ. Now, here is something that you may have never heard before, even though you may have studied Singapore history. Things about what Raffles believed, and it is actually found in his correspondence with William Wilberforce, right? So let me just quote from what he wrote in this letter that he wrote in September 1819. "All that I attempt is to pave the way for better things. Although I am far from lukewarm towards higher ends, I am content to confine all my views to the enlargement of the human mind and the general spread of moral principles. In the present state of these countries, these are the first to be attended to, that the mind may be prepared for religious truth and Christian discipline." Now, 1 month later, Raffles wrote to another friend of his, "I refer you to what we have done towards the amelioration, civilization, and the improvement of our population. The only rational steps which can be taken for eventually spreading the advantages of a higher nature which we have derived from the comforts of revelation and religion." Now, Raffles also revealed his plans for Singapore to his cousin, who was a pastor of a church in Liverpool. And this is what he wrote: "If you refer to the map and observe the commanding position of Singapore situated at the extremity of the Malay Peninsula, you'll see at once what a field is open for our operations. The Baptist Missionary Society has lately written to me on the subject of sending out missionaries. My answer is encouraging, and I've accompanied it by some general observations on the plan of conversion. There is no political objection whatsoever to missionaries in this part of the East, and so far from obstructing, they may be expected to hasten and assist the plans which are already in operation." And so you see what a vision our founder had 200 years ago. And today, Singapore has become a hub of missions in this part of the world. We thank God for that. Now we ask the question, what was it that motivated Christians like these to make an impact? Well, they were merely exerting their influence as the salt of the earth. They were counteracting the rot and decay that sin has brought into this world. And so today it is our turn now to do this very same thing. We need to make a similar impact to resist the unholy trends of the world that are coming in more and more. Things like materialism, gambling, pornography, licentiousness, and sexual perversion. What can we do about these trends? Well, we can certainly be praying against them. But there are times when we need to do more than just pray. There are times when we need to actually speak the truth in love, to take a stand for Christ in order to resist the strong tide of sin. We need to be just like salt, exerting a seasoning effect upon the world for good, and being a preservative of society against the increasing evil. We all know that the ultimate cause of all the sinful trends in the world is the sin that resides in the hearts of men. The only effective remedy that can ever deal with this problem of sin in the heart is the gospel. And so we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So, dearly beloved, please get yourself trained and equipped to share the gospel. And please consider this. You know, if the greatest thing that has ever happened to you is to be saved from sin and from eternal death, if you consider that to be the greatest thing that has ever happened in your life, what then is the greatest thing that you can ever do for others? It is to tell them how to be saved from sin and eternal death. This is the only way to make a permanent impact on the world. And please don't underestimate the impact that you can make if you persevere in this. You see, one very good thing about salt is that you do not need to have a lot of salt in order to produce its full effects. Just a pinch of salt is all that you need. Similarly, all that may be needed to make an impact on a whole community is just one Christ-filled person. Let me give you an example. In 1848, a Scots-Canadian missionary by the name of John Geddie came to an island in Melanesia, which is known today as Vanuatu. This island of Vanuatu was at that time inhabited by the worst kinds of savages. They had killed and eaten 22 crew members of a British ship. And these savages did not know at all what love is. Some even ate their own children. But this missionary, John Geddie, bravely endured all the kinds of trials and attacks from them. He learned to speak their language. He witnessed to them with the gospel. He showed them exactly what love and forgiveness is by his own personal example. He brought them to Christ, and he taught them how to read and love God's word, which he himself translated into their native language. And after that, scores of them volunteered to bring the gospel to the neighboring islands, and many of them in the process were killed by other savages. Years of labor and prayer brought about an amazing transformation to the entire community, so that today, 2/3 of the population of Vanuatu are Christians. So what did it take to bring about this change, this transformation? Only one life. One Christ-filled life made all the difference. You know, after John Geddie died, a tablet was placed in the church that he started on this island, and it had these words: "In memory of John Geddie, Doctor of Divinity, born in Scotland, 1815, missionary sent from Nova Scotia to Antietam for 24 years. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. And when he left in 1872, there were no heathen." Now, this does not mean that we'll always see results like this, such an amazing impact from sharing the gospel with others. In fact, in the process of sharing the gospel, you'll come across many people who will not respond. They will reject the gospel when it is shared with them. We see, for example, in Acts chapter 17, how the Apostle Paul shared the gospel on Mars Hill and did not receive a warm response. Right, he was dismissed from the meeting amid much laughter and ridicule. And there may be times when you will also experience this. You'll be disappointed, you'll be discouraged, because people just don't want to listen. They don't want to respond to the good news of salvation. When that happens, dear friends, please remember, it is not your efforts. It is not the methods you use. It is not the approach that you employ, nor the witnessing skills that saves people. It is always God alone who does the saving. The Lord Jesus said this in John 6:44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." You see, only God can change a sinner's heart and convict him of his need for salvation. So your success as a witness is measured not by the number of souls that you win to Christ. Your success is measured by how well you use every opportunity you have to share the gospel with the people around you. So let us all be faithful in fulfilling our role as the salt of the earth, and just leave all the results to God. Don't worry about whether people eventually, turn to Christ or not. That is God's work. Our work is simply to keep on sharing the gospel wherever we go. And if we fail to do this, our responsibility, we may end up not only neglecting our God-given role, but by doing that, we may actually prove to be false Christians. And this brings us to the third and final lesson that we can learn from this verse. False Christians cannot make a good impact on others. And that's what Jesus said. If the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Strictly speaking, salt can never lose its saltiness. There's no way that salt can lose its saltiness, because salt is a very stable compound, sodium chloride, right? It has no expiry date. You can buy other food products and there's an expiry date, but when you buy salt, there's no expiry date on the packet, because salt will always be salt, no matter how long you keep it. But most of the salt that was used in the ancient world was actually derived from salt marshes rather than by evaporation of salt water. And the rock salt that was found in these marshes contained many impurities. The actual salt, being more soluble than the impurities, could actually be leached out when it is exposed too long to moisture, leaving a white residue that looks just like sand, but it's not salty at all. It is just white sand, which was thrown out into the streets and trodden underfoot. And so this illustrates the result of being a false Christian. Like white sand, he may look like a true Christian. He may resemble a true Christian. He may attend church every Sunday, and he does what every Christian does during worship service. But it's all just going through the motions. It's just, as what Paul said here in 2 Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He doesn't have the qualities of a true Christian. Jesus says that such a person is just like salt that has lost its savor. It is thenceforth good for nothing, but is to be cast out, to be trodden underfoot of men. Dearly beloved, may these sobering words from our Savior be a strong warning to all of us. Please examine yourself this morning and ask yourself this question: are you salt or are you sand? If you are salt, your life will be able to make an impact on others for Christ. But if you are sand, you can never make any impact on others for Christ. I confess that I was once like that, many, many years ago. You see, I was a second-generation Christian, brought up in a Christian home, brought to Sunday school, attended church regularly with my family, and I called myself a Christian. But for many years, I lived without Christ in my life. However, God was merciful to make me realize that something is wrong and that I needed to personally receive the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And that was my turning point. It was only after that that my life could then make an impact on others for Him. Now, I had mentioned earlier on that Christ is the one who gives us all the saltiness that we need in order to make a good, positive impact on others. Without Christ, we can do nothing. There is no way that you can ever make an impact for Christ if He is absent from your life. So perhaps this morning, God may be speaking to you. He may be wanting you to realize that something is not right in your life. Why is your life not making any impact at all on others for Christ? Could it be that at present you are not salt, but sand? If you're convinced through this message that this is true of you, please do something about it. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved. God alone can transform you from sand into salt. And only then can you make a real impact on others and become a faithful witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so to summarize what we have seen in this sermon, from what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, we have learned three lessons on being impactful Christians. Firstly, we have the potential to make a good impact on others. Secondly, we need to go out into the world to make a good impact on others. And thirdly, false Christians cannot make a good impact on others. Dearly beloved, if you have truly been saved and you love the Lord, let your life be used to make a good impact on others for Christ, so that when the Lord returns, He will find you faithfully living for Him and witnessing for Him as the salt of the earth. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for having delivered us from sin, brought us out of darkness into Your marvelous light, and now You have set us in this world to be Your witnesses, to be the salt of the earth. Father, we realize what an awesome responsibility You have placed upon us, but we are assured that as we fulfill this role, You will do all that is needful to bring souls into Your kingdom. So I pray, O Lord, for everyone here, that You'll help us to commit ourselves from this day not to remain in the salt shaker, but to go out to make an impact upon the world, to use up every opportunity that we have to let the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ fill our home environment, our work environment, every place where we have the opportunity to make an impact on others. And may Your name be glorified, O Lord, as Christ is made known and His life brings eternal life and salvation to those who need it. We ask this in Jesus' name.